You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Rothschild here, a co-hosting. That's Catherine Lake with a pretty voice. You don't want me singing.
It is 7:06. I can't believe it's already in the second hour. 45 degrees expected for a high today. Steady rain this morning. Showers continuing this afternoon. Morning highs, like I said, about 45 degrees with temps falling to near freezing. Tonight, chance of rain, 100%. You're going to get your 100% today. Sorry. Yeah, about 40 degrees right now.
Yeah, it's... A little like November weather in December.
Yeah.
We had a lot of December weather in November, so it's working out.
I wonder if the rain will make the snow makeable into a snowman. Maybe that will help.
I hope so. I want to make a snowman. I haven't been able to yet. But.
Yes. The only decor I have in my front yard is the possibility of a snowman.
You got to do some work out there, Kevin.
Somebody's got to do it.
It was great to hear from Tim Slecker.
Wasn't
there.
That fun? Yeah, he's so smart. I love talking with Tim. I have something I want to tell you, unless you got something else you got to do right now.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to mention, we just acquired another radio station, Civic Media. And I think this is really cool. And the Milwaukee Courier as well. We just picked up WNOV 860, which is also simulcast 106.5 FM. WNOV. Starting January 1st, we're taking them over and the publication of the Milwaukee Courier. I'm so excited.
Courier, one of the leading black newspapers in Wisconsin.
Really? As part of the transition, current NOV owner Mary Ellen Jones will serve as consultant, while Jarrell Jones will assist with a newspaper's transition. Civic Media also announced that Robert Biko Baker, I love he's got the name Biko, will join the company as operations manager for both the radio station and newspaper. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. Civic Media continues to grow.
Yeah, Biko, after Steve Biko, the great anti-apartheid activist who was murdered by the apartheid regime. Listen, we've got a great guest right now.
Yeah.
Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson is
a... Good morning.
Michael Johnson is a tremendous leader here in the Madison community. He's the president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. He's also an author, by the way. He had a book come out last fall called The Audacity to Lead, From the Projects to the C-Suite, which would make a great Christmas present.
Okay.
If you haven't got a Christmas present for folks yet. Michael Johnson, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
How are things going for you over at the Boys and Girls Clubs?
It's good. It's busy. You know, this is, you know, my favorite time of the year, you know, out in the community, being a blessing to, you know, people in our region. And so I'm very blessed and thankful for the work that we do every day.
And one of the things you do at this time of year is the Pay It Forward campaign. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, when I was a kid growing up in the projects, I struggled, you know, with Christmas because, you know, I grew up in a single family household where my mother, she had schizophrenia and she loved me, but she just didn't have, you know, the resources to provide. So as a kid, I always didn't feel really good about Christmas because I would see all my neighbors and friends getting all these great toys and stuff over the holidays. So 16 years ago, you know, I proposed to my board of directors that we create a Pay It Forward campaign where we would go out and raise money on social media in real time and be a blessing to those in need. So over the last 16 years, we've raised over $1.5 million that we've put back into the community. We have purchased homes for people.
Wow.
We have renovated people's houses. Just yesterday, we gave a car away to a single mother of three. We've given out hundreds of thousands of dollars in toys. And it's about utilizing our lives to make a difference in somebody else's life.
That's tremendous. So that project is called the Pay It Forward Campaign. I had mentioned the book that you wrote last year, The Audacity to Lead. We got a text right away from Monica, who said that book is beyond fabulous. So,
yep.
Thank you. Yeah, something that, you know, I had been working on for a long time, and I was hesitant to, you know, release it because it talks about like the adversity that I went through, you know, growing up in the projects, how I couldn't read, how I couldn't write, to 15 years later, you know, running a multi-million dollar nonprofit organization and going from, you know, pretty much being functionally illiterate to graduating with an MBA and going to Harvard Business School.
Now, why would you hesitate to tell that story? Why would you hesitate?
You know, that's what we do at Boys and Girls Clubs. It's about educating young people and making sure that they can read, they can write, that they can thrive, and that they can work, you know, and I'm a testimony of that. I live it.
You know, the subtitle to your book, The Audacity to Lead, From the Projects to the C-Suite, is 7 mindset lessons on love, family, and turning adversity into impact. Mm-hmm. Do you want to just give us one of those mindset lessons that you think is super important?
I'm going to first say part of it, you know, 7 mindsets is all about how you lead, whether it's at work, in your business, with your family. And I talk a lot about love in my book and a lot about family. You know, when we do this work, you know, our first ministry is to our family, to our spouses, to our kids. And if you don't have that balance, you know, in your life, it's really hard to pour into the work that you do. So I hear people sometimes say that when you run a business, it's hard to have that balance. Well, I don't want to go through my career and make a difference in the lives of other people that come home and be miserable and not have a family that love me or kids who grow up and not respect me because I was not with them. Another part of the book talks about adversity. It talks about how, you know, the page can turn if you surround yourself around the right people. And what I've learned, you know, in 25 years of doing this work, from Philadelphia to Chicago to Indianapolis to Madison to raising money all over this country, I've learned when you surround yourself around smart people, people who are smarter than you in their particular fields, you can thrive, you can grow, and do amazing things for your community.
You can start punching up. Yep.
I've known people who got elevated to higher positions who were scared to have smarter people than them around. And you know, they wanted to make sure that they were the smartest person in the room. And it's interesting that you make the point that you shouldn't be afraid to be around other folks with other talents. And there's all sorts of different kinds of smarts, too. There's book smarts, there's street smarts, there's technological smarts.
Emotional smarts.
Emotional smarts, for sure. But that, I think that's an interesting point that you make there, Michael Johnson.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, some of my best friends are people who are people who live in poverty, people who, somebody asked me, why do I hang out with this guy that dressed like a pimp? But I also have friends who are millionaires, billionaires, people with GEDs and PhDs, people that live in the projects, people that live in high net worth, you know, households. And I gain value from being connected to all of them. It keeps me grounded, but it also keeps me connected. And when you bring those 2 worlds or 3 worlds or 4 worlds together, you're able to open up the doors for so many different things that you try to bring back to the community. And sometimes I get criticized for, you know, navigating between those worlds. But when you lead, leadership does not come without criticism.
Yeah.
And I've just learned to embrace it and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Are you glad you returned to Madison? Because you had a short stint in Cleveland and then you came back here. What was it about Madison that drew you back?
Yeah, so I've been here now for 16 years. I've now been back, you know, 8. And I would say kind of by faith, right? So I went to Cincinnati to run one of the largest United Way organizations in the country. And it was actually a really good organization. But I'm used to being an entrepreneurial leader. And sometimes some nonprofits are organized very differently. And so when I got there, I just knew it wasn't the right fit for me. And so as I was looking to make my transition back to Madison, I actually was offered a job with American Family Insurance with the city of Chicago. When a bunch of different groups saw this in the newspaper, it was very public. Mm. And I was just surprised by the number of people that were offering jobs. Aww. So Boys and Girls Clubs had came back and said, hey, we hadn't filled your position. And while we can't pay you what some of these other groups have offered you, we would love for you to come back. And so I told our board chair at the time, I said, if the board votes within 48 hours, if it's a unanimous vote, I'll come back. And I did. And I'm
glad I did. That is fascinating. Working for boards is so hard, and you wanted a unanimous vote. That's brilliant.
And also, I mean, I got to ask, I mean, a lot of people would take the money, would go to the place that was offering you the most money. What is it about Boys and Girls Clubs here in Dane County that lured you back when it wasn't paying you as much as the other places?
Yeah, so let me first say, you know, my board does compensate me well for the work that we do in this community, and I'm thankful for that. Secondly, I would say I've always wanted to be able to get up every day and be excited about the work that I do. My job at Boys and Girls Clubs really don't feel like a job. It feels more like a ministry. I feel like an orchestrator that's producing beats and products and services in the community. And to be honest with you, it's fun at times and I enjoy it. And I just don't want to be in a job where I get up every day, I'm miserable.
No.
I don't want to go to work.
Yeah.
And I love what we do at Boys and Girls Clubs. I got phenomenal colleagues. We're helping young people become doctors, lawyers. I'm seeing a generation of young people become developers, now becoming donors, and it's exciting to witness.
Must be gratifying, too.
It really is. I mean, there's a young lady by the name of Dr. Matiba Bojang who went through our program this summer. She invited me to her graduation, and I remember when she went through our Avid Tops program. And she said, can you come to my graduation? She emailed me. I didn't read the whole thing. I told my assistant if I was available, I would go. Come to find out, she's getting an MD. And now she works at UW-Madison.
Come on.
Delivering babies.
Oh.
She's been there for about 4 months. She's already delivered over 100 babies. And now she's one of my bosses. She's now on our board of directors.
Oh. At Clubs. Good
what
story.
What a success story. Yeah, that's just a great story. We're speaking with Michael Johnson. He's the CEO and president of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County, a tremendous leader here in our community. And we're going to be right back. Can you stay after the break? I got a couple questions more for you. We've got a great text from Monica who says, the humility that you embrace makes you so terrific on so many levels. So we're getting a lot of good positive feedback. I'd love for you to stay with us, just another segment here on 92.7 WMDX, and we'll be right back.
Excellent. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Matt Rothschild with you here on 92.7 WMDX. One of the leaders in Madtown is Michael Johnson. He's the CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. And We've been talking with him, and he'll be with us for the next 6 or 7 minutes. You can join the conversation, 608-879-8255. Matt Rothschild here with Catherine Lake. We got a text, Catherine, from Larry in Deerfield. I cannot recall a primetime presidential address that was as defensive and hyperpartisan as this one. That was Jonathan Carl that Larry was quoting. And Larry adds, I also thank you for having Michael Johnson on the show. These interviews are so informative and well done. Well, thank you, Larry, and thanks for all you do in your community. Larry's been a leader in his community in Deerfield, I know, and has become a friend, which I'm grateful for. You know, Michael Johnson, Larry mentioned the speech last night, and I don't want to get your reaction to the speech. I want to get your reaction to maybe the climate that Donald Trump has established, this kind of toxic immigrant bashing, partisan ugliness, the kind of racism that he has been espousing his whole career. Mm-hmm. And we were talking a little bit about that with Tim Slecker, our previous guest. What effect does that kind of climate setting by Donald Trump have on you or on the work you do?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, it impacts families all over our country. You know, you think about, you know, playing around with people's SNAP benefits. And that's even a debate is very unfortunate. And just some of the misinformation that is being shared by, you know, leaders throughout, you know, this country is very unfortunate. I was a SNAP recipient, and there's people all over the country in both rural and urban areas that utilize those benefits. We're also seeing, you know, nonprofit organizations funding being cut at unprecedented levels, and nonprofits who are doing good work in this community that got award letters, spent the money, and then had those awards rescinded.
That makes no sense.
I think, you know, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars.
Wow.
And we're talking tens of millions, Catherine, you know, here, you know, in Dane County. And that impact all of us, you know, here in this community. I hate the divisiveness that I see between both the Republican and the Democratic, you know, party, and, you know, some of the race relations that we see in this country. It's very dangerous. It's toxic. And we gotta be better.
Hmm. How did that SNAP issue affect the work that you were doing? You must have been hearing from a lot of families in need and not wondering, you know, wondering what they could do in that circumstance.
Yeah, I would say, you know, thankfully in Wisconsin, it didn't hit us hard because, you know, the governor was willing to, you know, stand up, you know, for it. But, you know, there was concerns from people and families worried about not being able to eat. And we saw, you know, we have a food pantry and a group, a local church that run a food pantry at our Boys and Girls Clubs. And we saw those numbers, you know, increase lines, hundreds and hundreds of people coming into that food pantry, you know, seeking support. And it just caused unnecessary headaches to people that I just don't think was needed. We're very, you know, I get that, you know, our country has a lot of debt, but I think there's ways you go about, you know, reducing your costs without hurting people.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. The idea that they were going to intentionally hurt people who are hungry and kids who are hungry was just something that was kind of baffling to me.
I wouldn't want to be in leadership like you, Michael. I wouldn't want to be in leadership. I'm so afraid and I can't fathom it. I can't fathom how theoretically half the country, and I think it's far less than that, feels like we're just not going to be a club. We're just not going to protect. We have life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Nowhere in there does it say we're a club who takes care of one another. Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. People, you know what it is, you know, Catherine, people are afraid to be uncomfortable, right? There's leaders in this country, whether at the federal level, at the state level, or at the local municipal level, who are afraid to shake the status quo, afraid to step out against things that may not be popular. And I would tell you, you know, leadership sometimes is tough, but as I've gotten older, I've gotten a lot braver and really don't give a damn about what people
think about me.
Yes. And what I've learned is that if I feel passionate about an issue, I'm going to speak up on it. And as if I feel passionate, nobody's going to force me. Nobody's going to tell me what my views should and shouldn't be. And sometimes that get me in trouble. There's a lot of people in this community, I believe, respect what I do. But because of the way we do things, people sometimes get jealous. They get envy. Mm. They talk crazy about my leadership. And I just learned it comes with the territory. Yeah. And you got to embrace it and keep it moving.
It's good trouble.
Yeah. Michael Johnson, yeah. I want to appreciate your bravery and your leadership here in Dane County. Mm. Michael Johnson is the CEO of Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. How can people support the work over there?
Yeah, I would ask people, you know, if they want to come to www.bgcdc.org or just simply Google Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. We're always looking for people to give it their time. That's important. Their talent, equally important. And if you're fortunate, your treasure. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of kids and family that can benefit from people that have the resources that could be a blessing upon them.
Well, thanks so much for being on. And do support the Boys and Girls Clubs if you're listening. And we'll be right back talking birds.
Oh, no. Goodness gracious. Thanks, Mike.
Matt Rothschild here. I'm subbing for John and Gordy in the morning, along with Catherine Lake, who is the station manager here at WMDX. Been enjoying the program this morning. It's fun being with you.
You are a really entertaining speaker. 41 degrees right now, up to 45. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be cloudy and kind of icky most of the day. It looks like the drive time could be the worst this afternoon, not now. So be aware of that. Maybe get out a little early if you can.
Yeah, and you can join our conversation. We just had a great conversation with Michael Johnson at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. We got a text from Monica who said, our leaders locally and nationally have been answering calls, and so many of us have been working around the clock to reassure our fellow neighbors and comfort. She is a fan, as I am, of Michael Johnson.
Yeah, I think her response to that is because I said I wouldn't want to be a leader right now. It's really hard work and confusing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to shift gears here because anyone who's been listening to me whenever I guest host on Civic Media knows, number one, that I'm a bird watcher. And number two, that I want
to
bring
the, I'm a dork.
I want to bring the joy of birds to as many people. This is as evangelical as I get. I'm even more evangelical about bird watching than I am about pro-democracy politics. So.
You know, I mock you, but I have to tell you, I bought a house right outside a forest on the east side of Madison, and I became a bird watcher. I got the Merlin app because my dear friend Dory is a bird watcher, so I'm like, okay. And I just love seeing, and I have bird, you know, two feeders now, and I'm playing around with what kind of feed I put in. I'm a total dork now.
There you go. Welcome to Dorkland.
Thank you.
And welcome to Birdland. But, you know, the Merlin app, which Catherine just mentioned, is this app you get. It's put out by Cornell University Ornithology Department, which is the leading ornithology department in the country.
I didn't know that.
And all you do is, once you have the app, download the app, which is super easy, and you turn it on, and you put your phone outside, it will tell you what birds are singing. And it will give you a picture of the bird that is singing.
Unbelievably fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I was hesitant to get it because I'm stubborn and thought that
I don't need help.
Yes.
Yo, oh my God.
Stubborn old man. I don't need your help. I don't need your devices. I'm doing just fine. I've been doing this for 60 years. Leave me alone. But no, then I got it and I love it. So there you go. So now we're joined in studio by Brenna Marsicek. Brenna Marsicek is the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance Director of Outreach and Director of the Madison Area Christmas Bird Count. Now, the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance used to be called the Madison Audubon Society, or Audubon Society of Dane County. They changed their name recently. They've always been doing terrific work to support birds, bird watchers, and also they help buying property that is so crucial for birds and wildlife around Southern Wisconsin. It's a great organization. Brenna, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be part of this group of dorks here that love birds.
It's a dork reunion. So tell us about the Christmas Bird Count. What is that?
The Christmas Bird Count is a citizen science or community science program that is the longest running bird survey in the country that's done by volunteers. So it's coordinated by National Audubon, and there are lots of what's called circles. So these are areas that are, I think, 23 miles in diameter, and it's a circle. And within that area, people go out on one particular day during the end of December and early January, and the group of volunteers count as many bird species and as many birds as they can on that one particular day. And so the goal of it is to create a snapshot of what birds are present and absent in that area year to year, and in what abundance if they are present. And that allows us to look over time how things are changing and how populations change. Of course, there's always lots of variability with weather. You know, if it's raining, or if the lakes are open, or if it's cold and windy, the number of birds that you find are going to be different.
Right.
But, you know, it gives you a long-term data set that you can look at for seeing what happens to bird populations over time.
No, so quick question. Do you, with that date choice, do you choose, let's choose a day that we're going to see more, or do you go, well, it's the date we chose, whatever?
Yeah, typically you just pick a date well in advance. We set ours for the first Saturday of the Christmas bird count window each year for the Madison area count. So that window starts December 14th and it closes January 5th or 6th. So you have to pick a date within there. Okay. And usually when you set it, you set it well in advance so that you can get lots of volunteers to put it on their calendars and plan on coming out. So then you just kind of roll the dice with what the weather is going to be. And we've had some really fabulous weather, and we've had some really awful weather, and everything in between.
And what are the trends that you're seeing? You say this data gives you the capacity to look long term. Is there anything that jumps out at you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing has to do with the amount of open water in Madison, because we have the lakes. And so that really gives us an interesting look at waterfowl and birds that use the lakes for stopover as they're migrating, or for winter feeding.
So on Lake Mendota, we still have tundra swans here, right?
Today?
There was a ton of them near Picnic Point last week. I don't know if they're still here in numbers.
Yeah, I haven't heard if they're still, like, right now here. I drive past Lake Monona every day on my way in, and I see that there's ice
Monona's
cover.
Monona's covered. But Monona's, Mendota should be open, though.
Yeah, so if there's open water, there's likely to be swans and waterfowl still at that point.
And by waterfowl, you mean a variety of ducks and geese. And the ducks that we see out there, they're male ducks still, but also there are a lot of golden eye, there are a lot of bufflehead, and there's a variety of
gansers. Those are ducks.
Those are all beautiful different ducks that Dom can now look up in this bird book.
I got a book, and I was currently looking it up as you guys were talking. So
I just gave that to him 2 hours ago. It's his Christmas present.
You really are evangelizing.
Yes, there you go. So I see that the Madison area bird count is December 20th.
That's right.
And if people want to participate, do you still need volunteers for that, or are you all covered?
We would love more volunteers for people who want to watch their bird feeders.
That's me.
Yes. So long as
Catherine, too. She just raised her hand.
Fabulous.
So how do we do that?
So on our website, which is swibirds.org/CBC, short for Christmas Bird Count, there's a form that you can fill out. You put in your address. As long as your address is within the pre-designated circle for the Madison area, you will be able to send us information about what birds are using your feeders. And I have a protocol. So once you fill out that form, I respond to you with the information you need about how we do this, how to track your time, how to track your birds, and then where to send the data at the end of the day.
And we just email that to you?
Yeah. So there's a form that you fill out with your data.
Okay. I've got a Carolina Wren. You're going to want that.
Yes, yeah. Please.
742. We just got a call in, Matt. 608-879-8255. Joe's calling in from Madison. Hi, Joe.
Hey, gang. Terrific segment and something that brings great happiness to all is birds, to whatever level people want. And I think this is one thing that I wanted to stress. I love the Christmas bird count. That's a great thing to be involved with. But your particular organization, which people can find at swibirds.org, Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance, has a great number of education for adults and for families and field trips. And one of the things that I think can make people very happy without having to spend a lot of money is to simply say, what kind of bird list am I going to have through my life in my backyard, or the backyard bird list? And I would just offer that if people are looking for holiday presents, you could get a book like Dom got, a nice bird identification book. You could get a set of binoculars, and you could go on to the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance and give your family member, friend a membership, and then also information on trips that may be coming up, and then go on a trip with them. That would just be a great way to start getting going on putting together a backyard bird list, a friend's bird list. They are joyful. They will make you much happier if you start following birds, because they're a lot of fun.
They're fascinating.
So for holiday times, think about maybe a set of binoculars and a bird book and a membership. And there you go.
Nicely done, Joe. Thank you.
Joe from Madison. Let me just add, you don't need the most expensive set of binoculars.
Right.
If you're just beginning to be a bird, you can get a decent pair of binoculars for $100.
Well, my parents' binoculars from opera glasses, will those work? They're tiny. They're like 150 years old. I don't know. Will those work?
You definitely will get style points for using them.
Mark wrote in, I remember waterfowl hanging out at MG&E's warm water return pretty much all winter. Is that a dangerous thing? Warm water return from MG&E?
Yeah, so there are ponds that waterfowl will use throughout the winter, and it's not the water that goes out there is like relatively clean.
They
clean it up. Yep. So it's usually the ponds that are by the Madison Metropolitan Sewerage District that also are nice places for waterfowl to hang out throughout the winter, as long as they don't ice over. And so they're kind of good places for birders to go for like some reliable open water in the wintertime.
Yeah.
There are Christmas bird counts going on all across southern Wisconsin. Richland Center on December 20th, Poinette on December 27th, Mount Horeb December 28th, Baraboo December 29th. If anyone wants to jump on those, what do they do?
So on our website, which is the same link I just gave.
SWI.org/CBC.
Yep, that's right. SWIBirds.org/CBC.
It's SWI Birds.
That's right. So
your bad notes over
get it
there.
Right,
you're
Matt.
Not helping.
So there's a list of all of the counts that are happening within our chapter area, and our chapter covers 10 counties. So it's about 13 counts that happen during the Christmas bird count season. There are a number of them still coming up. So in addition to the ones you said, there's also one in Green Lake on December 31st and one in Cooksville on January 1st. So if anyone wants to get involved, there's that list on the webpage and contact information for the person who coordinates those, where people can get in touch with them and volunteer their time.
I may wait till I see what the weather's like on each of those dates and sign up late.
That's totally reasonable.
But you can do it from your living room.
Or
your kitchen, wherever that bird feeder's hanging out in front. We got a text from the Chuckster in Racine.
This is a weird one. Go ahead. Go for it.
Matt, read birders using field glasses, binoculars, and cameras. Considering the times we live in, keep your focus in watching on the birds and do everything you can not to appear like an ICE agent. Oh, that is a wrinkle.
Creepy.
Especially in urban park settings, but I guess anywhere, any place these days. I'm totally serious on this. Go out of your way to look like a birder and not law enforcement. Yes.
Yeah.
Sad that that has to cross anybody's mind at this time, but that's where we're at.
That's true. And every year when we approach the day of our Christmas bird count, I call all the police departments in our area to say there will be birders out that will be looking in neighborhoods and in parks with binoculars. And sometimes they'll get phone calls from community members that are concerned about what these people are doing, not knowing that they're counting birds. So every year there's that feeling of like perhaps a little unsettlement that, you know, there are people around, but they're just looking for birds. And I think that's a great point, especially right now, that we want to make sure we look like birds.
One of the questions I want to ask you when we come back is about counting. What do you mean counting? Are you literally saying, I saw one, two, three? Or are you saying, no, I saw that red-winged blackbird and you're welcome? I want to find out more about that.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can hang on.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Rothschild with Catherine Lake and Brenna Marscik of the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance. We'll be right back here on WMDX.
Dork Alliance.
I've got a poem coming up, too.
Oh, good.
I'm going to Birdland, Birdland, in Wisconsin. I'm going to Birdland. I have reason to believe that we all will be received in Birdland. I'm going to Birdland, Birdland, in Wisconsin. I'm going to Birdland, Birdland.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I'm going to Birdland, Birdland, in Wisconsin. I'm going to Birdland. I have reason to believe that we all will be received in Birdland.
Matt Rothschild with you. I'm subbing for John and Gordy with Catherine Lake here, station manager at WMDX 92.7.
You can call MDX. I'll take that. I'll take MDX. 46 degrees is going to be our high today. We're going to have some sloshiness coming probably the afternoon, your afternoon commute. Be careful about that. In for John and Gordy, we are.
Yeah, and we have in studio with us Brenna Marscik. She's the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance Director of Outreach, and she is the coordinator of the Madison Area Christmas Bird Count. And before the break, Catherine, you were asking or wondering how the counting actually happens. And so,
please.
Yeah, it's a great question. So sometimes, so we have all of our, the areas within our circle broken out into different sections, and there's a different person who coordinates the group of volunteers in that particular neighborhood. So they send their folks out to parks and neighborhoods, and those people do count specifically. There's one goldfinch right there, and there's, you know, 10 sandhill cranes right there. And so they keep track on their data sheets how many specifically of how many birds of each species they see, and then they collate all of that amongst those volunteers, and they send it to me, and I collate all of that amongst all of the areas, and we end up with this big data set for just the Madison area.
Now, as a layman, me, I would want a partner, because I'd be IDing and going, well, I think that's a sandhill crane, but it could be the other crane that comes around here. Do partners?
Yep. A lot of times folks will work in groups. Yeah. Some people like to go out on their own for the quiet and for, you know, enjoying some.
That's me.
That's you. You know your stuff. So you're fine with that.
So, you know, and if they're experienced birders, that's great. So they can do that. But if a lot of people do like to go with a partner or with a group. So, you know, sometimes it gets complicated with, especially with big flocks of waterfowl, for example. And there are techniques for counting hundreds or estimating hundreds of birds within a flock. So
same like with crowds at a concert or a protest.
Right. I can do crowds. I've done crowd counting forever. The bird count, I don't know that technique, but
it's
you should tell me afterwards.
Similar. Yeah. And of course, birds fly, so we also have to be cognizant of, you know, this flock of birds is in our area, so we're counting it for ours. But you know, if someone in the next area over counts the same flock, then we have to just make sure that we're not double counting.
And also at your house, if you have two downy woodpeckers at 9 o'clock and two downy woodpeckers at 10 o'clock, you can't count that as four downy woodpeckers.
That's right. So if you're counting bird feeder birds, then you count the maximum number of birds of each species you see at one particular time.
Okay.
So if you see 8 chickadees max at one time, that's the most chickadees you can count.
That's my number. Yeah. Okay.
Brenna, the Wisconsin Bird Alliance is nonprofit. This is a good time for people to help organizations like it.
Mm-hmm.
How can people support the Wisconsin Bird Alliance?
Oh, we love to have people. And really, the biggest thing for us is to have more people interested in conservation. And so joining us on a field trip, as Joe mentioned earlier, or joining us for a class, we love it for to have more people involved. So that's a great way to contribute.
You need good boots. I'm thinking you need good boots to go out.
You definitely want some good winter gear. Yeah. Yes. But, you know, if you want to make a donation, we also appreciate those as well. It goes to support land protection and education, outreach, advocacy. So that can be done at swibirds.org/donate.
All right. That's swibirds.org/donate. Brenna, thanks so much for being our
guest. Thank you for having me.
Really interesting conversation. I can't believe it. I'm saying
I could talk birds for the whole 2 hours, but I won't do that. I won't totally geek out.
It matters. Birds matter. Yes. You're not wrong to be interested in birds.
And then people who know me know I also love poetry. So I try to bring a little poetry to the show every time. Here is a poem. It's got a bird in it, too. It's by a Pulitzer Prize winner, Rita Dove. It's called Dawn Revisited. Not a pretty dawn today. Tomorrow will be more beautiful. Mm. Here we go. Imagine you wake up with a second chance. The blue jay hawks his pretty wares, and the oak still stands, spreading glorious shade. If you don't look back, the future never happens. How good to rise in sunlight and the prodigal smell of biscuits, eggs, and sausage on the grill. The whole sky is yours to write on, blown open to a blank page. Come on, shake a leg. You'll never know who's down there frying those eggs if you don't get up and see. That's Rita Dove,
Matt.
A beautiful morning poem for you.
That's beautiful. Love that.
I love Rita Dove. She used to publish a poem of hers at the Progressive, so it was always great to interact with her. But it's been a fun show, Catherine. Thanks so much for co-hosting with me.
It went by fast.
Yeah. I want to thank our guests, too, Tim Slecker and Michael Johnson and Brenna Marsicek, who's still here in the studio with us. Dom, it's always great to work with you.
And again, thank you again for this book. I appreciate
Sibley's
it.
Sibley's Bird. East? Birds of the East?
Yep, Birds East. Yep, birds Eastern East. North America. So I'm going to be taking a look at this tonight. So,
all right, yeah. I'll quiz you tomorrow.
Oh, okay, maybe not that. I don't know about that.
And I want to thank all the callers and texters who make this show and this station and this Civic Media Radio Network work. It wouldn't be a show or a network without you. So I hope you all have a nice day today. It's supposed to get a little nastier than it is right now in the afternoon.
Afternoon,
so please
especially.
Drive carefully. The wind is going to pick up. There may be a dreaded wintry mix and snow squalls. So be careful out there.
But at least we don't have to scrape anything off our windshields anymore.
No scraping.
Maybe
at least not today.
Maybe tomorrow morning. It's going to be cold tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right. Thank goodness I have a garage. We have room for John and Gordy. They'll be back this afternoon, as a matter of fact, won't they? Dominic, they'll be in from 2 to 5.
Yeah, so you can get your fill of John and Gordy this afternoon. They'll be here tomorrow morning. And coming up next here in Madison is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller coming right up.
Enjoy that, too.
Thanks, Matt. Have a nice day.
My pleasure. Anytime, let's do it again.
John and Gordy. It's a John and Gordy Show. John and Gordy Show.
Come on.
As we were saying,
it's
the John and Gordy Show.
John and Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.